If you're able this morning, and take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 30 and 31 again this morning as we're in continuing to look at the faith of Joshua. There's so much written about Joshua. Thank God that Joshua had faith. That's starting verse 30, it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Father, this morning as we continue our journey through this chapter, this faith chapter, as it's called so many times, the Hall of Faith, I pray, Father, as we continue to look at the life of Joshua and all that he did because he had faith in you, because he trusted you, because he believed in you. And I pray, Father, that we too, even though we may not be a mighty warrior or a mighty king or anything like Joshua, a leader or anything that Joshua did in his life, but Father, Joshua was an ordinary person when you called him. Just another ordinary person. And I pray, Father, that we would see that we, as ordinary people too, could be used of you. Father, I pray that we'd be willing and able to forget about everything in this world and just focus on you. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish now, and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Seated, please turn over to Joshua chapter 3, where we'll spend a lot of time in Joshua. Starting in verse 1, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over." Israel lodged. They camped there by the swollen Jordan River. Because of the spring rains, of course, they had no idea how they were going to cross to the other side, right? Have you ever come to a point in time in your life when you get to a place and you think, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this"? And what do? First thing we do is we go find everybody we can and ask them their opinion, right? We got to ask our family. We got to ask our friends. We might even go and find complete and total strangers, and we'll ask them. And the last place we'll go is we'll go to God and say, "God, how am I going to get through this?" Right? This doesn't make much sense to me when the first place we should go is to God. But Joshua, they get there, and of course they're camped there, and they're thinking they've got to cross this, right? Well, Joshua already told them they're going to go over. God's already told them they're going to go over. I'd say, you know, if God said it, it's settled. We're going over. And I would say it's time to trust God and say, "You know what, God? I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you are. God, I don't know how you're going to get me through this time in my life, but I know you are. And I'm along for the ride." Joshua 3:2 says, "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host." Now what are they doing? They're going through the host because God has been directed by Joshua of what they're going to do. Joshua has directed these men to go through the host, the camp, and tell them what's going to happen. And so all of this is coming down, and some people say, "Well, no, Joshua said it." No, God told them. Joshua is following God's direction. These men are following Joshua's direction, because who put Joshua in charge? God did. You know, people have a problem with when God puts somebody in charge. Over and over and over, I've seen it in my life, where God puts a man in charge, and everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody wants to call the shots. Joshua is the one that God put in charge. Joshua is getting his marching orders from God. These men are getting their marching orders from Joshua. And you'll notice, nowhere here did it say that the officer said, wait a minute, who do you think you are? No, they went and did, right? It says that the officers went through the host. Joshua directed them. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Mentioned last time that the people weren't to come too close to the ark, right? Because then the rest of them wouldn't be able to see what's going on. I mentioned, you know, you get a bunch of people in front of something and it blocks the view, right? I've been in some churches where they have what they call stadium seating and the floor is sloped. And that's so that the people in the back can see just as well as the people in the front, right? Only when you're not used to it and you go walking in there, it's kind of like, you're feeling like you're going downhill fast and it's like kind of weird. But I can understand the reasoning behind it. You want everybody to see. You want everybody to understand what's going on and be able to know and not be distracted, right? For years, I always sat either first or second row in the church. Why? Because do you know how much stuff goes on between the back row and the front? People are doing all kinds of stuff. There's conversations going on sometimes. There's note passing other times. There's nudging. There's nodding off. There's all kinds of stuff that happens in the church. And so you don't want that. So you don't want that distraction. Well, here they wanted everybody to be able to see what was going on because when a certain event takes place, they have to be ready to move. How are they going to know that if they don't see what's happening? And so, of course, they had to be about a half a mile away so they have a better chance of observing this. The usual position of the ark was to rest in the center of the camp. When they started moving in the march, it was in the middle of the procession. This time it's going to be in the front. It's going to go out first. Verse 5 says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Obviously, God has directed Joshua to do this. Joshua is following God's orders. He says, sanctify yourselves. It means to separate yourselves from the common things and focus on the Lord. I think it'd be good if God's people would learn to sanctify themselves, to forget about the things going on in the world and focus on the Lord. We get too many times where we forget about God, but God's going to do great things. What did he say? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Anybody see any of the wonders that God did this morning? I like where God's allowed me to live because I go out the door, I can look out the front window, but we start driving and we start heading north, and what's right there? This beautiful mountain, sun's beating down on it, and it's covered in white. It's glorious. It's like, wow, look at what God did this morning for us. And then you go, well, how could you not be in a good mood after seeing that? Right? I mean, God just gives you those things, and it's just a blessing from him, and he does these great things. But he says, do this and focus on the Lord because he is going to perform a miracle for his people. Are we looking for that miracle? God's doing miracles all the time. Are we looking for them? We're not going to find them if we don't look, right? If you were here for Sunday school, you found that out. If you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it. We've got to be looking. Verse 6 goes on and says, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Joshua's success here was dependent on the growing out of the promise that he got back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Just turn back there real quick. We're going to be back in 3, so don't lose that spot. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God's saying, you know, Joshua, I've already told you. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going on. Just follow. You're going to be successful. Sounds like to me the way to be successful is follow God. However, that's contrary to what we're being told in the world, right? You want to be successful, you got to follow the almighty dollar, right? No. You want to be successful, follow God. Joshua obviously has the word of God on his lips. He has it on his mind, and he also has it in his heart. And he shows it in his actions. Verse 7 goes on and says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." All this miraculous work that God is about to do in Israel is going to cause Israel to know. They're going to know for sure that Joshua is the one that God called. There's going to be no doubt about it. And he's going to perform this because they're going to show Joshua as the leader bringing them through. And they're going to know. God's going to make Joshua a leader, just like Moses in the eyes of the people. And he's going to do all this by using Joshua to do this miraculous thing. Wouldn't it be nice if God did miraculous things through us? Ever been with somebody when they got saved? As you lead them to the Lord? Isn't that miraculous? Yeah. It's a miraculous thing. It's going to lead them across this seemingly impossible task of getting across this body of water. How are we going to do it? People say, well, it's impossible to find somebody that you can lead to the Lord. No, they're out there everywhere. We just got to be doing it. Just doing what God's called us to, sharing the gospel. Even with God's specific guidance and with the specific guidance from His Word, it's still an impressive step of faith for Joshua. Right? When our faith is tested, do we come through that with a stronger faith? Or do we give in and say, I just don't believe this is going to happen? Joshua had a strong faith. Very impressive step of faith we see. We're talking about the faith of Joshua from chapter 11 of Hebrews. God could have divided the river without the priests, right? They didn't have to go in there with the ark first. God could have done it without them. He could have said, everybody stand back. I'm doing this on my own. I'm not using anybody to help. But instead he said, no, I want these to. But let me tell you, the priests could not have done it without God. See, we need God. Our problem is we live in a day and age when people say, oh, we don't need God. Why don't we need God? Every single day, I've said many times, I get up in the morning, first thing I do is thank God for another day. Why? Because He didn't have to give me another one. He chose to. Could have taken me out of here. And I would have been okay with that, right? I'd be home. But He gave me another day. So we need to be thankful for that. And then be willing to do whatever it is He's called us to do. The priest here would set a good example for the people and teach them to do their uttermost in the service of God. and to trust Him. Trust God. See, these guys had to go out there, and it's said, right, when they step into that, what's going to happen? Now, this is a river, right? So keep in mind, he's going to back this end up. This end's going to keep flowing, right? What happens on this end? If you got nothing else feeding it, pretty soon it's done, right? People say, well, how did all those people get across there? Well, if you back this end up and all this dries out, you got a whole lot of space to move a whole lot of people. I'll say, you know, I always think of people who try to disprove God's word. They think, you know, it takes more of a miracle to do what you say He didn't do than what He did. If they just think for a moment, it's a problem, right? The thinking. I saw a shirt one day, I almost bought it. It said it's called Thinking. You should try it sometime. And I thought, people might get offended. They might get offended. But I thought it was an idea. So God's still talking to Joshua. He's still directing Joshua. And Joshua is to command the priests. Look at verse 8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Okay, I don't know about you, but here's the Jordan. When you come to the brink of it, you step in there and stand still. That took some faith. I don't know how many people would just go walk out there and stand there still and say, wonder if this is going to work. No, they believed it was going to work. Another thing that confirmed Joshua's authority to the people was his foretelling how the waters would be cut off as soon as the feet of the priests touched the water. We'll see that in coming verses, but look at verses 9 and 10. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the sites, right? The fact that He will move on behalf of Israel here is taken as a promise of His future blessing and movement for them. And as we know, all know, Israel has many enemies, even still today. Amazing how many people are against Israel today. And more, it seems, they just keep, everybody's against Israel, right? What's the Word of God say? Tells us very clearly that those who are stand with Israel, God will bless, and those who are against Israel, God will curse. But see, people don't fear God. They don't believe God. But God says, doesn't make it any less true. He's going to move on behalf of Israel. He's going to let them know that His people can trust Him. Wholeheartedly trust Him. Also, keep in mind that nothing can happen to Israel unless God allows it. Nothing. Also know that none of this takes God by surprise. Verses 11 and 12 go on and say, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe a man. He's directing them here. He's saying, get 12 men ready, one of each tribe. They must be to where when Joshua calls out, that they'll be able to hear the orders of Joshua that he's going to give them. Look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence, out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 8, And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." Joshua's telling the people what is going to happen. This stuff is going to happen. And look back in verse 13 of chapter 3. It says, "And it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." In other words, the waters which are now flowing are just going to stop and stand still. Wouldn't that be a sight to see? Like, whoo, that'd be exciting. They're going to be divided. The part, as I said, below the priest is going to continue to flow. Eventually that's going to dry up. There's nothing feeding it. So it's going to dry up. They're going to channel and flow down towards the Dead Sea, and it will run itself dry. But the river above the priests, beginning at the city of Adam, the water, will stand still. It shall stand upon a heap. Wow. The impossible problems in their way are not seen as an oppressive trial, but as a glorious opportunity to see God work. Got to look, right? Can you imagine anybody out there going, you know, this is taking too long. I think I'll just go off and they miss, right? They miss out. I don't believe that happened. I believe they were all focused because they knew God was going to perform a miracle. Verses 14 through 16 says, "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." These waters stopped their course from the city of Adam and kept a distance so the Israelites could pass over. Adam was a city in Palestine. This event occurred at the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. The location of Adam is marked by the present site of Damia, about 16 miles north of Jericho. Since Jericho is a few miles north of the Dead Sea, the area in which the water was completely removed from the bed of the Jordan would cover approximately 15 to 20 miles. Israel didn't have to single file across this. Oh, they could go over and cross, because God made sure they had plenty of space. Now, I believe wholeheartedly, if God had dried up 1 square foot across, 1 foot wide, and across that, they'd all just single-filedly gone over. And that section would have been just totally, but then how does this keep this wet when it's blocked? This is quite a miracle. Quite the miracle. God miraculously stopped this. These people passed over on dry ground. Interesting how on dry ground God miraculously dried the riverbed. They didn't slip and slide in the mud. There wasn't any. It was dry ground. This miracle obviously kind of connects back to the Red Sea miracle, right? There's a little something different between the two, though. Keep in mind that God brought them out of bondage in Egypt by a miracle. He's bringing them into the Promised Land with a miracle. Look at verse 17. It says, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Clean over, completely over, right? Not halfway through, but completely. Every last one of them made it completely over. And it says, stood firm. They stood firm in the midst of this, in the same place, in the same posture. Their feet did not move. The water didn't come and knock them down or anything. The mud wasn't there, so it didn't have any problems with that. These guys stood firm till everybody passed over. Can you imagine? No mire to sink in. None of that. They just... Can you imagine when they got there? River's flowing. Then dries up. Now I just wonder... And you're like, oh, well, hot dog, let's get in here, right? I mean, can you imagine as you're coming down to there and thinking, I hope this works. I'm just looking at how Christianity seems to be today, right? I hope this works. I hope God's not just, you know, pulling our leg. I hope that I can truly trust that this is going to happen. And then it happens and it's like, whoo, let's keep moving, right? Let's get in there. Let's make this happen. No, God made it happen. God's the one that took care of it. They stood firm because they believed the word of God and they were confident in His power. We tell Him we believe in His Word. We believe that we're confident in His power. We tell Him that, right? Until the test comes. And it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right? The economy goes tanked, right? The job goes away. What am I going to do? Well, how about we just trust God? He got you the one you had. He can give you another one. Right? The car's broke down. What am I going to do? No money coming in. What am I going to do? How am I going to get to a job if I get another one? How about we just trust God? He gave you the one you had. Let me just say, He's not up there wondering what might be happening in your life. He already knows. Sometimes I wonder, just my own opinion, sometimes I wonder if he just wants you to ask. He already knows. Sometimes I think he just wants to hear from his people. God, I need you. I wonder if he's tired of hearing, when I need you, I'll call you, right? Instead of realizing we need him every day. We need him every moment. The ark is referred to 14 times in these 17 verses. 14 times. You know, God has a tendency to let us know things over and over and over because he wants us to get it. 17 verses, 14 times he mentions this. And it's all about the trust of Joshua, the priests, and Israel. They knew that God was with them. They knew. There was no doubt in their mind. God is here. He's with us. He's going to take care of this. And in some respects here, the passage of Jordan was more miraculous than that even of the Red Sea. As I said, there were some differences there. When God parted the Red Sea, he sent a strong east wind. People say, the east wind dried out the, right? We got an east wind. It's blowing across it. What happens when the wind blows? Here, in this part of the world, I've been in some areas where it doesn't seem to affect anything when the so much humidity in there that there's, you couldn't get rid of water if you wanted to. But here, when the wind blows, what happens? Things start drying out. So people say, well, that might... Look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 21, please. Exodus 14:21, it says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." Okay, here, with the Jordan River, doesn't tell us anything about that happening. Nothing there at all of this kind appeared in the passage here at the Jordan. Nothing at all. What we're told here is the invisible hand of the invisible God took care of it. Well, now we can't blame the east wind for drying it out, right? So who gets credit? The only one that deserves credit. God did this. This was a miracle that God performed for his people. He said, I told you I was going to do it, and I did it. I wonder how many of them you got that smack up against the back of the head. Now quit doubting and move on. I wonder how many of us need a little smack against the back of the head that says, quit doubting. I got this. I got this. Can you imagine coming up to that Jordan, saying, this looks impossible. Well, what about what's going on in our world today? Boy, this looks impossible, right? How can we win this battle? Well, do we really believe that we serve an awesome God? Do we really believe we serve an all-powerful God? Do we really believe we serve an all-knowing God? So why do we doubt? Because we want to see. But Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about people who, by faith, not by sight. Now they got to see, right? They exercised their faith and saw. How about if we exercise our faith and look and see what God's doing? Now, over and over and over, I get the opportunity to talk to people, and I say, man, don't we live in exciting times? Now, I get it. It would have been nice to have been there at the Jordan, right? And see how God did that. Physically see it. But can't you, by faith, see it? I just see God doing that. How about if we just trust Him? By faith, believe Him. It's easy to say. Totally different thing to act on. Joshua proved his faith by his actions. I'd say God's people need to prove our faith by our actions. Are we trusting Him? What He wants. He wants us to trust Him. I started this. I thought, how many times do we have to hear about the faith of this person and that person and the next person? And God said, till we get it. I've lost track of how many weeks we've been on the faith. But I'm wondering, are we getting it? Because I already got news for you. God's already given me a couple more messages just on Joshua. I wonder how many of us need that little smack against the back of the head saying, wake up, quit doubting. Isn't it exciting to watch how their faith unfolds? How they just trust God, and God never lets them down. We say, well, what about all those that died in the wilderness? Their faith. Their lack of faith. That was the problem. And God said, okay, you don't want to believe? Wonder how many of us are going to say, God might have given us some more time. And we just believe by faith. Faith. The Bible tells us it's impossible to please God without it. Do we want to please Him? Let's start showing Him we have faith. Not just little faith. But let's show Him that we have great faith in a great God. Let's pray.